Well, once again, good morning, good evening, good afternoon, or good whenever you are listening into this. This is Pastor David speaking to you, and thank you, any and all who are listening in. For the next few weeks on Wednesdays, I want to share some truths in God's Word that relate to anxiety and fear as opposed to peace in our souls. I am assuming here in this study with you that you understand that God intends for the born-again believer that they would have peace, that is, peace in your soul. I'll just offer you one example in Scripture of this, though there are many examples to be had. Paul, as he concludes his second letter to the Thessalonians, says this in 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 16. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace always in every way. The Lord be with you all. That is one of those verses in the Bible that is stunningly beautiful. The Lord of peace, may he give you peace in every way. Every possible way that you can have peace. Paul was essentially praying here that they would receive that kind of peace. Part of that peace is an internal calmness of soul. This verse is made all the more beautiful by the context of 1 and 2 Thessalonians. The Thessalonian believers had already faced suffering for the name of Jesus. Paul himself begged prayers from the Thessalonians that he would be delivered from the hands of wicked men in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. They faced life and death situations, and not just from natural causes, but also from persecution. And through this, Paul prayed that they would have peace. Peace in every way. Now, right now, it is my sense that many people, including many Christians, need peace. Because I suspect that all of us at one level have the feeling of the anxiety of the moment. I know that because I've talked to many of you, and I observe people, and finally, I just know myself. Let me just share with you a few quick stories of my own experiences over the last couple of days. This week, I was at Walmart picking up some things for our family, some groceries, and I was in my car about ready to leave, and I saw in front of me a lady who had just finished loading her things in her car. And then she pulled out a can of what looked to me, I cannot be absolutely certain, but boy did it look like Lysol. It looked like the brand name and the color of a Lysol bottle, a Lysol can. And she began to spray it all over her clothes and body. And it was not just a small amount. Now, maybe it was not Lysol, maybe it was something safer, but it didn't look that way. I have to be honest, my first thought about that was, you know, you can die from a lot of things in life. I just imagine that it's really not good for you and your health to coat yourself in Lysol. But second, as I thought about it a little more, that was a person right there who was living in obvious some measure of fear. There was an anxiousness there. I was also talking this week to a pastor friend of mine on the phone, and we were discussing some ideas of how to minister during this time of separation, and then we got talking personally. And I confessed to him that I had been personally anxious and fearful about some of this stuff, and he admitted to the same. In fact, he said that he'd actually had some physical reactions to him in terms of anxiety. Stuff that he had dealt with before when he had been under a tremendous amount of stress. And there it was. Both of us, for slightly different reasons, had anxiety in him and in me. And then I was talking to a church member this week about some of these things. And he said that he was for a while really fearful about some of the things that were going on. And he was thinking about the economic impact of all of this. And it was concerning. And it is concerning. Thankfully, he said that he had and was dealing with that, but there it was. Fear was there. There are many fears that abound right now, economic, social, political, and of course, physical. And not just for ourselves, but also for the people around us and the people that we love who are particularly vulnerable. How can we deal with these fears in a Christ-exalting way? There are a number of theological truths, Bible truths, that can help us with fear and anxiousness. And these truths are not just for this particular time, but are for all times, because the fact is that we, at various times in our lives, face fears and things that bring us anxiety. How do we get that peace in every way that Paul prayed for? That is what this brief series on peace is about. There is not just one silver bullet that gives us peace. Rather, there is a collection of ideas in the scriptures that give us peace, and together they work. It's kind of like how one football player does not make a great team. You can have a great quarterback, but if he doesn't have a great line to block for him, or receivers that can catch the ball, or a running back to hand the ball to, one guy just isn't going to win. Or take an orchestra with only a tuba. Would that sound great? You need all the instruments together. Each one plays a part. And that is true when it comes to peace. There are a collection of truths that, as we put them together, help us to make team peace, or a symphony of peace. Now, here is the simple truth that I just want to bring to you today. It may seem a little counterintuitive, but it is vital for our souls if we're going to find peace. And this first truth of a collection of truths that together will bring us peace is this: we are dust, God is not. We are dust, God is not. Let me point you to Psalm 103 for a moment. If you have a Bible, you can follow along, or just listen as I read verses 13 through 16 in Psalm 103. The scripture says, "As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. For he knows our frame, he remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. As a flower of the field, so he flourishes. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more." This passage is both very foreign to us in some ways, but also very near. We all understand that our days are like grass and flowers. We grow up, and then we're cut down. We blossom, and then we wither. And the flowers that were once there are gone, and the text says, "And its place remembers it no more." We are here and then forgotten. All of us at times are confronted with that reality. We know it even if we don't like to tell it to ourselves. We get it. But the other part of that passage is a bit strange at first to our ears. It's a little bit foreign. And that is this: God knows that we are like flowers and grass. We spring up and fade away. But it's not just that he knows it. He pities or shows compassion to us. That is to say that God, in his awesome glory, deeply cares for us. He knows what we are. And this psalmist uses a word to really capture what our frame is. That is, our substance, what we are made of. He says this: he remembers that we are dust. God knows. God remembers that. He has compassion toward us in the state we are in. And we are dust. The writer of this psalm, this psalmist, is drawing upon what God said way back in Genesis. In the first couple of chapters of Genesis, we are told that the Lord God formed man from the dust of the earth. Later, after the curse of sin, we are told that from dust we are created, and to dust we return. We are dust. And what a stark and stunning picture that is. In the Sunrise Cemetery, you can go and find a gravestone that is facing into a huge pine tree. The tree has practically grown around the stone. You look at the tree, and it's huge, and you realize that part of it came from the remains of a person who was buried and returned to dust many years ago. It is an incredible illustration of this principle. We are dust. That is our frame. We are made up of the elements of this earth. Now, if you read on in the rest of Psalm 103, the psalmist goes on to declare this in verse 19. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. That is a stunning contrast to the frame that we have. Here is the picture. We have the magnificent, transcendent Jehovah God, the Lord, Yahweh, ruling over all things. He has a throne, not on the earth, but that is over the earth in heaven. He has a kingdom, not marked off by a river or an ocean or by some man-made boundary. No, his kingdom is over everything. And the contrast between us and God becomes abundantly clear. We are dust. God is not. He is the creator. He made us from the dust that we are made of. We are really ultimately the created thing. Now, what happens to us regularly is that we, and by we, I don't just mean you, I mean me too, we forget this fact. We forget that we are dust. And then comes a crisis. Whether it's a global one like this one we're in, or it's a local one, or a personal one, it may threaten our lives and our health, it may threaten our family, it may threaten our resources, or all of the above. And suddenly, we are brought face to face. We are confronted with this truth. We are dust. Now, here's what that means practically as we think about the fact that we are dust. We have limits. The limits of the dust that we are readily apparent to us if we just think about it for a few moments. First, there is the limit of time. I don't just mean 24 hours in a day, about 7 to 8 of which are sleep. That's true. Rather, we have the limit of a lifetime. For most of us, that's 70 to 80 years. That's it. We also have the limit of energy. I think we would all like to be Tony Stark, in one sense, Iron Man, who has this secret power of energy that allows us to do great things. Well, we try. Some of us have herbal supplements, some of us have surgeries, and some of us, yes, even try energy drinks. But here's the thing about all of those things. They all don't last. They wear off. I mean, think about one of the most popular energy drinks of sorts in our society, 5-Hour Energy. There it is. They're telling you right on the label, right on the cover, this is limited. Of course, we're also limited in our problem-solving abilities, we're limited in our ability to control things around us, and a host of other things. Now, you might say, I thought this was about peace. You're just basically dogging on us, telling us we're not able to do anything. Well, I hear that cry, but remember that this is just one part, one player, one instrument in the symphony of peace. And the part is this. Peace begins when we take stock, when we adequately assess who we are. If you think of yourself as being all-powerful and in control and having everything under your command, every time something happens that threatens those lies, you have told to yourself, every time something happens that threatens those lies that you have told to yourself, you will feel anxious. Instead, let me offer you this bit of advice. Recognize and rest in the truth that you are dust. God is not. And God has compassion. He has pity for your dusty frame. Rest in Him. Next week, we'll embrace another truth to help us with peace. But for now, let me just say again, we are dust, we have limits, and that should just be a part of how we think of ourselves so that when we are challenged beyond our limits, We can look up to heaven and know that God knows our frame. He knows we're dust. Finally, let me just say to you who are part of the Sunrise family listening in, I miss you very much. I love you and am praying for God's grace for you. And if you're just tuning in or somebody sent you a link to this, thank you for listening. We hope and pray this has been a blessing for your soul. The Lord bless you all.